Welcome to 9to5 Mac Daily for Wednesday, April 28th, 2021. I'm Chance Miller. We are sponsored this week by Privacy.com. Leading off today, last week, Apple announced a new Apple Podcasts subscriptions platform that will launch in May, likely as part of iOS 14.6. To counter Apple's announcement, Spotify has now announced that it will too allow podcasters to offer subscriptions to their shows in Spotify. Spotify will initially allow select partners who host their shows on Anchor to charge for their episodes. 12 independent shows will offer subscriber-only bonus content at first, and NPR will launch ad-free versions of its popular shows. Notably, Spotify says that podcasters won't have to pay anything to Spotify itself for the first 2 years, but starting in 2023, the service will begin taking a 5% cut of total subscription revenue. Apple, on the other hand, will take 30% in the first year of subscriptions and 15% in the second year. Podcasters will also have to pay Apple a $20 fee annually to use the subscription features. Spotify is giving podcasters three monthly prices to choose from: $3 per month, $5 per month, or $8 per month. Something else that's interesting here is that Spotify will not use Apple's in-app purchase system. This means that Spotify won't have to pay Apple for any subscription sold. But to subscribe to a podcast, users will have to use the website version of Spotify. So this could ultimately reduce the conversion rate. Spotify also says that it has plans to eventually launch a way for podcasters who already run a subscription business outside of Spotify to bring that business into the application. This, again, is different than Apple, which is not allowing users who operate an outside subscription platform to integrate with Apple Podcasts. Both of these announcements are relatively interesting, and they signal a shift in the podcasting industry. But whether or not Spotify or Apple is able to be successful in offering subscription platforms to creators remains to be seen, but we expect more data over the coming months. In other news today, AirPods demand is reportedly falling in the face of increased competition from other companies. A new supply chain report today says that Apple is ordering its suppliers to cut production by somewhere in the 25 to 30% range. In fact, it adds that Apple is currently sitting on excess inventory in its warehouses. Apple reportedly expects to make between 75 and 85 million units of AirPods for 2021, down from a previous production forecast of 110 million units. The downward revision indicates that demand is weakening for AirPods, after multiple years of double-digit growth following their introduction in 2016. But if this report is accurate, it's unlikely that Apple is too concerned. The company is still by far the dominant player in the truly wireless in-ear headphone market, even though its share has been falling for some time. A recent report said that Apple currently holds 29% of the truly wireless in-ear headphone market, which is still more than twice that of its nearest competitor. And perhaps the most important factor here is that we're nearing the end of the current AirPods release cycle. AirPods 3 are expected to come sometime later this year, at which point Apple will likely see a boost in demand. We are sponsored this week by Privacy.com. Privacy makes payments easier and safer for everyone. Right now, new customers will automatically get $5 to spend on their first purchase. Go to privacy.com/9to5Mac to sign up now. If you're like me, you put protecting your data at the forefront of everything you do online. This is especially true when it comes to your financial information. Privacy is a tool that makes it super easy to manage your financial life online and keep your most important information secure. You can protect your card details and your money by creating virtual payment cards instead of using your regular debit or credit card for each place you shop online. You can create special virtual cards for each merchant and make sure that you are never accidentally billed twice or upgraded to another service without your consent. In the age of subscriptions on every platform, this is an especially useful feature. You can head to privacy.com/9to5Mac and sign up for an account. New customers get $5 to spend on their first purchase. That's $5 of free money, a Again, that's privacy.com/9to5Mac and sign up now. New filings in the Epic versus Apple legal battle have shed additional light on Apple's decision-making process regarding bringing iMessage to Android. As it turns out, Apple Senior Vice President Eddie Q pushed for Apple to bring iMessage to Android in 2013, but he was overruled by other Apple executives. This new detail comes via a deposition with Eddie Q made public by Epic Games on Tuesday. The document in question is an email exchange between Q and Apple executive Craig Federighi from April 2013. The context is that this is around the time that reports emerged saying that Google had attempted to acquire WhatsApp for $1 billion. The document details that Q wanted to dedicate an entire team to porting iMessage to Android. In an email to Federighi, Q wrote, quote, "We really need to bring iMessage to Android. I have a couple of people investigating this, but we should go full speed and make this an official project. Do we want to lose one of the most important apps in a mobile environment to Google? They have search, mail, free video, and growing quickly in browsers. We have the best messaging app and we should make it the industry standard." End quote. In response, Federighi questioned Q about how Apple would even convince Android users who currently use WhatsApp to switch to iMessage in the first place. Federighi said, quote, "iMessage is a nice app and service, but to get users to switch social networks, we'd need to be more than a marginally better app. This is why Google is willing to pay $1 billion. For the network, not for the app. In the absence of a strategy to become the primary messaging service for the bulk of cell phone users, I am concerned that iMessage on Android would simply serve to remove an obstacle to iPhone families, giving their kids Android phones." End quote. So Federighi's response here is interesting because it indicates that he was not a fan of bringing iMessage to Android because it could reduce part of the ecosystem lock-in on the iPhone. This is expected to be an interesting part of Epic's argument in the trial with Apple over the App Store and Apple's policies. Epic also released its deposition with former Apple software engineering chief Scott Forstall, and this deposition focused on the early days of the iPhone and Apple's internal process with making the App Store, including how it came to the decision to charge a 30% commission. The Apple versus Epic Games trial is officially set to begin on Monday, May 3rd, and you can read more about Epic's full deposition filings at the link in the show notes below. That wraps up another episode of 9to5Mac Daily. As always, you can find all of the latest Apple news on 9to5mac.com. Follow me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller, and be sure to come back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5Mac Daily.